Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. Listening to your heart speak daily allows you to align your thinking, your feeling, and doing with your spirit. It is by letting your heart matter that you will be able to live from the inside out. This week, our heart energy that we want to talk about, and you'll get to know more about, and you'll get to learn more of who you are and empower more of who you are with us, is the word mission. It is an energy that is very big and encompassing. So you may have just one piece of mission, not the whole thing, but it's very important energy for you to claim in this lifetime. If you have signed up for the weekly newsletter, it's going to be a good show, the weekly newsletter, you will have gotten the email on Saturday that said, "Mission makes the energies of who you are available for exchange in the world." I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, mission. It's a big energy. And yesterday I did a workshop on getting to your higher spiritual purpose. And in that workshop, I talked about the difference between life goals and your spiritual journey. And I think that's worth mentioning under the topic of mission.
What?
Because what we tend to do is make our mission about reaching certain goals in life. And we need those. And as I said, those are like mile markers that give us direction. And they're good to have. But they should be there just as direction, and our spiritual journey should be our path. That spiritual journey that is going towards discovery of who we are. Yes, we find part of who we are as we're reaching those goals, but find who we are, how to join with others, and then how to reach the ultimate purpose of service, which is our ultimate mission in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this thing of goals in life, I just see so many people say, well, I can't grow right now spiritually because, you know, my husband doesn't want to and I'm in a relationship, or I have to raise my children, or my job is so demanding, or, you know, whatever these goals are, instead of these goals supporting the journey, they obliterate the journey. And then there are people who come to me and they want me to help them to be better in their job or in their relationship. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because that goal is an opportunity to express and discover yourself on this journey. But we have to keep in mind the journey is the most important thing. And it is remembering that, I believe, that gets you ultimately to mission. So that was the story I had today. It's not really from very far past, just yesterday.
Well, sometimes that's as far back as I can remember. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes those stories from the near past are most appropriate. The story that came to me around mission was from, I don't know, I was about 11, 12 years old, something like that. You had started doing healing work part-time, just seeing some people doing sessions out of your house. And we had been, you know, eating healthy and talking about metaphysics and stuff like that for years before that. So I was somewhat steeped in the world of spirituality. But along about that time, you had a friend, Astrid, who sort of, she made it her mission in life to connect healers, to create a network of healers. She was very into the psychic scene in Atlanta and wanted to have a finger in each of those pies and know all the people. And she would have people over to her house, like Wednesday nights or something. She had a favorite chiropractor that she had brought in, and he would work those nights. And she had a person that would bring a biorhythm machine, and there was a acupressure person there one time. And we would go over there and get adjusted by the chiropractor, and you would bring us kids along. And that was the first time I got a sense of, because there was a lot of, quote, healers and psychics in the Atlanta community that would kind of come through there on Wednesday nights to get their adjustments and to talk to the other people. It was kind of a meeting place. And she always had, classical music playing in the background, and there was like a color light machine sometimes. Do you remember any of that?
Yes, I remember.
Going there was my first real taste of mission. That's when I started thinking, okay, if your back's out, you don't see the chiropractor just because it hurts and you want to feel better. You're going there to take care of your body because your body has a purpose. You know, that term light being first kind of entered my consciousness there. And I saw all these other healers and psychics and people that were trying to change the vibration of the planet, and they were all there to communicate with each other, to address their health concerns, to learn, to grow. It was kind of a salon, if you will, of metaphysical people. And I begin to feel, just as a kid going there just to get my back cracked by the chiropractor, that I was participating in some sort of mission, that whole thing that I had grown up with, talking about metaphysics, people's issues, psychic phenomena, all that sort of stuff, it began to gel into not just, okay, that's an entertaining part of life that people participate in, but that's a mission. That's something that people are here to do for the betterment of the whole planet. It is not just a hobby or an occupation. It is a calling. And to participate in it, you have to take care of your body and your mind and your emotions and your spirit. You have to maintain those things, not just so that you don't get grouchy and have pains and feel down, but so that you can function efficiently on this thing called mission. And it was a real eye-opener for me. That's when that whole idea of mission first came into my consciousness.
Well, that fits with the picture I got when I was meditating this morning. And when we meditate, yes, you get very quiet and you listen. You get your body quiet, your emotions quiet, you clear out anything you need to, you get your mind quiet. And for some people, they need to have a visual of a place to go or a screen to see, or just they go deep within themselves and become one with the rhythm of their breathing. There's a lot of ways to meditate. But the intent that we meditate in the morning, my intent's different when I meditate at different times, but in the morning, we meditate from 6:30 to 7 every morning, and you're welcome to join us. It creates a synergy when people meditate together across the planet. But we meditate with the intent of asking our spirit to speak to our heart and say, this is who I would like for you to be today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once a week, we say, this is who I would like to be, so we can be in synergy across the planet,
right.
And could you give me wisdom around that and show me what that means? So we meditate, and for some people, they get instruction just that registers in their mind. Others get pictures. But if you can get both, then you've engaged both your right and left brain, which is the female and male part of yourself, which is a good balancing point to begin with. So, since I'm very right-brained, the picture part's pretty easy for me. Mm-hmm. And this morning, my picture was not just a still life, but it was a moving picture. And I saw myself designing and figuring out where to plant some flowers. Mm-hmm. And then I saw myself going to get those flowers and planting them. And my intent in getting those particular kind of flowers so that I could share them. They would make pretty bouquets. Mm-hmm. And so I planted them, I watered them, I weeded them, and all of this is just a series, like I say, a moving picture. And I picked them, and I put them in a vase, and I took them down to our institute building so that they could be shared by everyone. That was my picture of mission. And I thought it was interesting that the four elements were there, the sun, air, water, and earth, all necessary, mm-hmm. You know, starting with my intent of my heart to do this for a particular purpose that could be shared for the good of the whole. And that was my picture, and that fits with what you were saying very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My meditation picture was a little different, but I'm imagining that anybody who meditates on mission is going to get some wildly varying pictures. There's probably going to be a theme to all of them, and I hope we'll reveal that as we go along. But mission is such a huge energy. I mean, it's like love. You know, I can say love, and 10 different people have 10 different things pop up in their head. And
yes,
the same is probably true of mission. It's such a huge, overarching topic that has a lot of categories under it. But my picture was of a trail up in the mountains, and you suddenly come to this huge gorge that drops off, and there's a swinging rope bridge that spans across it. And that swinging rope bridge to me was the picture of mission, that it takes you out into some scary, undefined spaces sometimes, but if you have the trust to cross it, you can feel its strength all the way across, and it will support you. And when you get to the other side, you find that it is connected two different worlds for you, two different places that were totally separate and inaccessible to each other have now been brought into contact by that rope bridge.
And that goes with my story. You know, we have our goals. That's where you start at one end, and you go to that other world when you realize that the spiritual journey, that the goal is not the end, or you would stop before you got on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have a tendency to do. And it's not that, as I say, the goal is not a bad thing, but when you just end in a goal, then you go to your next goal and your next goal, and the connecting bridge does not connect you between two worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to take a minute and acknowledge one of our sponsors. You can go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique, bountifulbuys.com. Has clothes, accessories, books, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. So check out bountifulbuys.com. Help your wallet and the planet. bountifulbuys.com. We have an email from Diane in New York, New York. I really look forward to sharing with you on Mondays. I feel like I'm connecting to the world in this way. My picture of mission today is that I'm walking along and laying flowers out along a waist-high stone wall. Each flower represents a piece of who I am. Some are daisies, some are irises, some are calla lilies, some are lavender. I see each flower as a piece of myself that I lay down for the sheer joy of what I have to offer. The wall is a support on my journey. What a nice picture.
Yeah, she didn't have any poison ivy in there at all.
No, she did not. But it's interesting, she had flowers in her picture, and
yeah,
I had flowers in mine.
Flowers in yours, too.
Uh-huh. And I think it's nice when we think of those pieces of ourselves, that we have to offer to the world. And you remember I said mission makes the energies of who you are available for exchange in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When we see those pieces of ourselves as flowers, it's really nice rather than poison ivy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, I was looking at this, and her first paragraph says, I look forward to sharing with you on Mondays. I feel like I'm connecting to the world in this way. That's that synergy piece. You know, the meditating together, the focusing on a heart energy together, the power of that causes electric currents, energetic currents, vibrations to connect us all, and it begins to create a powerful web around that energy. While it's good to meditate individually, meditating together does connect us all in the world. It's very powerful. Thank you for that, Diane. This is from Betsy in Cincinnati, Ohio. Can you read that intro sentence again from your weekly email? Not sure who I am as energies. Well, when it says make the energies of who you are available for exchange in the world, you know, Diane's picture was of flowers. Mine was of the planting of flowers and sharing those. The energies of who you are in the world will be these daily energies that we ask your spirit to give to your heart, to speak to your heart and say, okay, today I would like for you to be the energy of compassion or the energy of loyalty or commitment or kindness or caring or any quality that you experience in life is a heart energy. And those energies, then if you get a picture of it, you kind of have a better understanding. And if you take that understanding and bring it and define it into your activities of that day, you get to see how it feels in life. It's no longer an abstract thing on the other side of that swinging bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is connected from your heart to your life. And by bringing those energies, and then eventually in mission, that's the first step of mission. The second step of mission is that you begin to join those together, like we're talking about in our meditation, so that it has a more powerful impact on the world. But it's always that we are intent on bringing that light into the world, the light of who we are from our spirit through our heart into our lives.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Did you want to add anything to that, Russell?
I wanted to emphasize that piece of, you know, connecting to something bigger. And meditation is great, but for mission to really feel like something real in your life, you're going to have to bring it to a larger space and do it with other people or connect to a higher purpose in some way. It can't just be something that you think about and treasure in your heart and write a little poem about every day. Mission is a very connection-oriented energy. I mean, I imagine that's why I got that image of the bridge, that you must make whatever your little picture of mission is somehow tie in with another group of people that believe the way you do, or it seems kind of pointless to me.
Mm-hmm. I had a conversation this morning with somebody who said that, you know, he had a lot of therapy in his life and he had read a lot of metaphysics, and he had. He's well read and he's well versed. And he said, you know, it's difficult to get away from believing that you can just accomplish it by yourself. He was admitting that he was beginning to see beyond that, but it was that, and that's true for so many people, because we love to be self-sufficient. We love to feel that we can do anything, we can take care of ourselves. It gives us a great sense of security, of confidence, but when we really think of the mission of spirituality, the mission of spirituality is realizing that we all are one, and the joining of that is what really makes the bringing of light greater into the world, that our the end goal of our journey is that all that we have brought can be contributed to the world in the biggest possible way, and mm-hmm. that joining makes the biggest possible way possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This email is from Bill in Orlando. Bill's a regular of ours. We appreciate Bill. He's very honest with us. And some of you feel like if you're negative, you can't share it, that this is a, quote, spiritual show. We have our negativity, and we have to look at that. Bill says, I don't feel like I have a life's mission. Seems like just making a living to provide for me and my son is all I can see. Is that a mission? I think that addresses what I talked about in the beginning, Bill, is that that's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
To provide for you and your son. And to do it is valuable and worthwhile and important. And if that can be something, but when your son grows up, that goal will have been completed. If you're not on a spiritual journey growing through that experience, growing to and through that experience, then when you get on the other side, you're empty.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people do that. I think it's very well known, the term, the empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
That, you know, if that's a goal of getting your kids graduated from school, and you think you're going to be relieved, but if that's a goal, then there's an emptiness. Remember, Russell, when we had exchange students that stayed in our home all the time when we were in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Emory students, we were part of a program where we would adopt for an exchange student. And so we had various people in our home through the years. But there was one Oriental Chinese guy, I think it was. We had several different Orientals, Japanese, but this was a Chinese. And he was wonderful. He'd get out and play Frisbee with you guys. He was there nearly every weekend. He was great. I really liked him. And he was a great student. I think he was going to be a medical doctor. He made great grades, enjoyed himself in school. And he went into the worst depression the week of graduation.
Yeah.
He was so depressed. He had worked so hard and filled his space completely with being excited about his studies and all of his interactions, but the goal had been completed.
Uh-huh.
And he went into a depression because it was a goal, and he did it well, and he was delightful in doing it. But it wasn't just a leg of the journey. The journey wasn't the most important to him. That goal was most important.
Yeah, my wife and I bought a pickup truck together when we first, well, actually before we got married. It was one of the first things that we did together. First sign of common commitment is that we both chipped in money to buy a pickup truck. And so it's sort of become a symbol of our relationship. We've had it for over 19 years now. But as a truck gets older, you know, you're going to have to pay money to repair it and, you know, upkeep it, and they just become big money pits. And our original purpose in getting the truck, as opposed to a convertible or something, was that we figured, all right, if we ever have to move, it's going to be nice to have a truck. You don't have to rent a U-Haul. If one of our friends wants to move, it'd be nice to be able to offer it to them. You know, it's nice to have that utility there, that ability to support. And
that has been a mission vehicle because you defined it for moving. My goodness, how many people has it moved?
It's moved a lot of people. But when we moved up here to North Carolina and we started participating in the work weekends that we do here in the community, the second and fourth Saturdays, getting out and hauling branches and planting trees and stuff, we had a community vehicle for a while, but it died, and we eventually offered our truck to be the replacement for that community vehicle. And so the truck kind of went from having a purpose, which was to support ourselves and other people in moving and hauling stuff to having a mission,
mm-hmm.
which was to take that same purpose of supporting and hauling and stuff and make it available for supporting a whole community as opposed to ourselves or our friends.
Mm-hmm.
That to me illustrates the idea that you can have a very worthwhile purpose, but it's not necessarily a mission unless you upgrade it to the point where it's serving something greater than just getting a job done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is true because as the truck has aged and we've had to put money into it, I have shifted from thinking, you know, oh, that truck, that old truck, I got to put more money in it, needs a new starter or whatever, which is what I would do if it was just serving me, to thinking, oh, we've got work weekend coming up. I got to get a new starter in there. You know, I don't mind paying this money. In fact, I'm going to pay extra to make sure it gets done before Saturday because we've got work weekend coming up. And it's given me a reason to spend my money on the truck as opposed to the truck just sucking money from me and me feeling guilty and resentful and wishing that it was new again. And, you know, it's sort of turned around the whole dynamic of upkeep on an old truck, because now the truck has a mission as opposed to just a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. It's time for another sponsor. Let's talk about Glow cookies. Until now, eating gluten-free meant eating taste and flavor-free. But those days are over. Glow gluten-free proudly introduces gluten-free cookies that taste like the real deal. Baking entrepreneur and celiac disease expert, and it's celiac month, mm-hmm. it is, and we're honoring that in our health food store. Her name is Jill Brack, and she's cooked up some wonderful cookies, all kinds of wonderful flavors. There's the rich double chocolate, the crisp and spicy ginger snap, cinnamon sugary snickerdoodle, and the old-fashioned chocolate chip. And they're very crisp and good. They're wonderful. Nearly one in every 100 Americans are affected by celiac disease. It's an autoimmune disorder in which the intestines become damaged by eating gluten. And I mean, they can't eat any gluten.
Right.
Not just a little, but none. And many more Americans are less affected, but still affected by gluten, and they don't know it. So give your taste buds a treat and your body some extra protection by eating Glow cookies.
Now, it was my understanding that Terry was going to bring us some gluten-free cookies this time.
I know. She promised us some Glow, and she let us down. But next time, you mean to, won't you, Terry? Oh, thank you. All right. This is from Lisa in Nyack, New York, sending you this via Facebook. This came through the Facebook. Are missions always spiritual in nature? What about missions to third world countries offering aid? You want to take that first, Russell?
Yeah. You know, I don't think a mission has to be spiritual in nature. We tend to get spiritual and religious confused. I think if you're offering heartfelt aid and not doing it out of a sense of guilt or obligation, then you are being spiritual, because I think it is your spirit that feels that deep-seated compassion, whether that's affiliated with any spiritual or religious organization has very little to do with it. But I think spiritual entities, spiritual organizations, have a tendency to promote mission better because they've gotten over that hump of selfishness. There was a Catholic monastery in Conyers, Georgia, not too far from Atlanta, when I was growing up in Atlanta. And when I got old enough to drive, I would sometimes make the drive down to Conyers. It's about 20 miles outside of Atlanta. And just go visit that monastery on a Saturday, because there was such a sense of peace and quiet and focused. I mean, you could really, if you were struggling with a problem, you could just go sit on the grounds there and meditate or walk around, and you would find your answer. I mean, there was just a feeling of hush and serenity that was around the grounds of that place, because the monks there had such a huge sense of mission that they knew that they were not there on a year-long tour of duty and then they were going home or something. They had dedicated themselves to this. It was the full-on, you know, there to bake bread and keep bees and live a quiet life. I don't know if they were a sect that was allowed to talk or not, but it was very quiet.
They chanted beautifully. I love to hear them chant.
But they had that full life commitment. I mean, the whole no sex, drugs, rock and roll, nothing. They were committed to a certain lifestyle. And if you're going to make that sort of sweeping life change, if you're going to commit yourself to something that deeply, it's very easy to join in a sense of mission with the other people that are doing that. If you're feeling really torn up about the homeless people devastated by the earthquake in Haiti, and you spend a couple of good weekends down there helping out, it's a lot harder to hook into that sense of mission. At that point, it just becomes a really good goal that you would like to see happen, and you're sometimes motivated by an obligation or just an emotional wanting to help, a guilty sort of feeling. But to make a life commitment where you change how you eat, what you wear, your schedule, you know, that you put aside what you want to do and you adhere to something that's going to draw you closer to all the other people that are on that same path, that very easily promotes mission, and you can feel it on the grounds of a monastery or some other place like that. And because of that, I think we have a tendency to associate mission with religious or spiritual groups. Not that you can't be on mission otherwise, not that you can't be spiritual in your daily life, but it's just a lot easier when you've already made that commitment to change so much about your life to come together with other mm-hmm. people.
And like I said, mission happens in stages. Mm-hmm. First, you have to make your priority this bringing who you are mm-hmm. as a spiritual being and bringing it into your life each day. That's step one. And then you've got to get to step two, where you have an intent for the good of the whole of some kind, and that you join with others in bringing that intent to the whole. You know, our intent here is to bring light through the form of healing and health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're a healing center, and healing and health are very big for us. So that's the way we bring light. Some people do it through medicine, going to third world countries and bringing their knowledge and their medicine, but their intent is to bring the energy of healing. That's another healing. Mm-hmm. But you have to have an intent that is for the good of the whole, a heart intent that is for the good of the whole. And the more you join with others in that intent, then the brighter is that light that you're bringing.
Right.
So mission has many, many different layers, and people are on a journey of mission. I mean, that's your spiritual journey. But you may be at different places, but you can't let it end at any one point, or that has just become a goal. Mm-hmm. For some people that come to me, their goal is to get through their wounded childhood.
Right.
Now, that's not a bad goal, but it isn't the same thing as a spiritual journey.
True.
And recently I have decided that I want to work only with people who are on a spiritual journey, that are dedicated to finding that path of mission, not just wanting their childhood wounds healed, even though I'm very, very good at it.
Right.
I feel like my mission is to take people beyond that. And if I've had people for a good while that don't want to go beyond that, then that's becoming a problem for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas some people's mission is just to help those original wounds.
Yeah.
And that can be a mission. It was mine for a long, long time. So your mission takes different phases and steps, but it's all going to an expanded purpose that unifies you with others for the good of the whole and bringing light through some subject of the heart that takes a physical form. Did I make sense in all that big long sentence?
Yeah, I like the way you put that.
Okay, so I think we answered Lisa, don't you? Yes, we did. I want to mention, while we're talking about this, that we have a CD that might help you if you want to make your business into a mission endeavor. It's called New Business Paradigm. Since you have to go to work every day, it's kind of nice if your business turns into a mission business. Yes, you're going to have goals of meeting certain deadlines and certain dollar amounts, but if those goals become more important than your journey or your mission, then the energy of exchange becomes the goal instead of the energy. And in this new business paradigm, I talk about making the energy the exchange that the money and all follows, rather than making the money the goal of exchange and then hopefully having some energy generated. It's just a reversal. But that's what we're talking about in mission. So even if you don't own your own business, and it's definitely needed if you own your own business, and you need to listen to it several times because it's such a reversal of the way we've been taught to think around business. But it works. It works. It has been proven to work, and it is a new business paradigm. So if you're in a business where you feel that your employer is open and you would like for that to become a mission, get this CD and see if he's interested.
And even if you're not in a situation where you can, you know, tap the boss's shoulder and institute things like this at work, it's a very clear way to see mission played out. It's a great laboratory. It's a great example, so that even if you don't ever use it in a business setting, you can apply it to other areas of your life, because it's easy to see how all the details fit together when you look at it in the context of a business.
Yes, yes. This email's from Teresa in Asheville, North Carolina. Teresa is another loyal follower, and we do appreciate that. And if you are a loyal follower and you haven't had the courage yet to email us, please do that. We'd love to hear from you. It helps us to have those energetic connections that we talk about so that we're making a difference in the world around the energy of mission today. Teresa says, I saw a rushing river this morning in my meditation around mission. Everything that entered the river moved along quickly with ease. I guess I see mission as fluid and easy, not a difficult journey. I don't even know when that shift happened in me. Do you have advice on how to make that shift from difficult to easy? You know, I think the shift may happen when it's very painful and difficult to go through just healing your childhood wounds sometimes. Some people have easy childhoods, but some people's childhoods have been very difficult. And maybe not in the form of physical or sexual abuse or emotional abuse or not even abuse, but just that the parents were busy. They didn't really know how to connect with the energies that child had, or they made it a goal to adore their child rather than to love their child, that I talk about in the workshop yesterday, or any number of reasons that make growing up painful. Very few people find growing up just to be a breeze. And healing those wounds helps us to move into adulthood. So I would say that the difficulty in the journey is moving from childhood, and I don't mean just in age. We may move from childhood when we're 45 years old, but moving from childhood into adulthood, because it's only in adulthood that you can begin to join with others in a purpose that's for the good of the whole. Other than that, you know, children are pretty self-centered.
Yeah, the first well, really, first 2.5 years of college, the computer never assigned me an advisor. And the advisor is supposed to watch out and make sure that you're taking all the required classes. And I didn't have anybody telling me that, so I just went through the syllabus and I picked out the courses that I was most interested in. And then I would rush into the dean's office at the last minute and say, I don't have an advisor, can somebody sign this? And they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And they'd sign it. So I got to take whatever I wanted, and I had a grand time. And it caught up with me that winter semester of junior year, I think. They finally assigned me one, and he was just horrified that I had never taken Sociology 101 or, you know, all those entry-level courses. And he insisted that I take them all at one time. So I had just a horrible final trimester of junior year. And when I came back senior year, I said, you know what, I'm burned out on school. I thought it was great at first, but it sucks now. So just tell me what I've got the most credits in already. And he looked through and he said, well, you got the most credits in history. And I said, fine, I'm a history major. You know, I've only got to take 2 more classes and I'm out of here. And I think that it can be like that. You know, you can just see where your purpose is already big. In fact, that was my first baby step today that I was going to recommend to people. Don't make it hard. Just ask yourself in every situation, why am I here? Why do I go to work? Well, you know, it's to support my wife and kids. And okay, great. Well, why do I go to church? Well, I want to support my spiritual essence. Okay, well, I'm at poker night with the guys. Why am I here? Well, I really, you know, just want to support that sense of friendship. Okay, well, great. Are you noticing a theme in all of these purposes? Well, support. Okay, well, maybe that's your mission energy. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should find some other people that are about that and make that a priority in your life. It can really be that simple. Just go around and ask yourself, why am I here in each situation? What's my purpose? And if you begin to notice a theme, then you may already have your mission.
Mm-hmm. And people do. I mean, for instance, my husband, no matter what he does, his whole goal in everything is expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's his manufacturing plant, whether it's his nutrition practice, whether it's working in our health food kitchen, or his whole goal is always expansion. His mission energy is expansion, and he brings it for the good of the whole all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is mission.
Yeah, and I'm betting he never sat down and consciously said, yes, I want to bring expansion all over the place.
He never did. He just looked and said, and all at once, oh, well, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And so he stepped out. At first, he did it for himself in his own business, and then he got through his childhood and got into adulthood, because as adulthood, you want to give to the world.
Right.
And you'll know you've entered that phase from childhood into adulthood when you're beginning to want to make a contribution in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you go out and become president of the United States. That probably wouldn't be a contribution. But anyway, when you are able to see areas where, hey, I can give in this way, and I can join with others and be a part of this, and we can synergize this and make a bigger splash than I could by myself. And yes, it's an unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
We make it so difficult. Just ask Terry over here. For a long time, she could, every time she came to a session, she'd say, and what is my mission energy? Which I would not tell her.
It's a credit to you that you never told her.
I never did tell her, because that's something you have to become. You
mm-hmm.
become your mission energy. You don't just say, okay, I have decided my mission energy is going to be support, like
mm-hmm.
you said, and or expansion, like we said around Rodney. Or, you know, my mission is bringing vision, or, you know, my mission is bringing anchoring, or my mission, I mean, you are support personified. I mean, you are support. in every possible way. And you have joined with us here, but had you not joined here, you would still need to join somewhere to bring that support for the good of the whole.
Right, right.
And while you may get discouraged with us here, it's a good place to bring it.
And I would feel terribly unfulfilled if I weren't able to support something larger than my own bank account or my own happiness every weekend.
Yes. This is from Julie in Lake Lure. Thank you, Julie. I love listening and reviewing how to stay in tune with my heart. This morning I saw mission as a missionary with a group of people who had an intent to help others. They needed everyone's expertise to get the supplies, transportation, materials, etc. to accomplish bringing light. Thank you for exploring this energy. Well, that's interesting. She got the various steps that we've been talking about in her picture with a sort of traditional idea of a missionary on mission, mm-hmm. but we all are that.
Sure.
You know, my mother used to say, I was a very spiritual little girl, very, very, very spiritual. And my mother used to say, you know, Jackie, I can pray to get you to the edge of the water, to the ocean, but I can't pray to get you over that, because I grew up in a church where missionaries went overseas.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Uh-huh. She said, I just can't get you across the ocean. She couldn't let go of me that far.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to add anything to Julie's?
Well, that traditional view of mission as, you know, missionaries, people going out to help other less fortunate people, it's kind of tightly focused, and we talked earlier about how you can have mission in your daily life. It doesn't have to be a special journey you make, but it does emphasize that piece of wanting to do it for a higher purpose, not just a momentary goal. And it also emphasizes the piece of doing it with a group of people.
And not, continuity.
Yeah. And my second baby step that I was going to bring up is, once you've asked yourself, you know, what's my purpose in all these situations? Is there a theme? If you do find a theme, see if you can join another group that does that. Volunteer your time, you know. Help out with your kids' schools, your local Red Cross, whatever church you belong to. Find a group that is centered around whatever you feel your purpose is, and see if you can join, because we have a real tendency to have a purpose but fail to make the jump to mission because we think, well, this is all I can do. And we need to get that experience of joining different pieces of that same energy.
But we have to be careful in that. So many people join a group or help the PTA or whatever they do because they feel obligated.
Sure, sure.
You know, this will make me a good person. And as a mother, I'm supposed to do this. Or, you know, I'm supposed to join with the, what are some of these groups that men have where they hand out, you know, they stand on the corner and ask for money?
The Shriners.
Yeah. You know, it's not that everyone there is not doing it out of mission, but a lot of people are doing it just for the activity of the group, or because this
right.
makes them feel good about themselves to be taken care of. And if you see it as taking care of less fortunate, that can be a huge caretaking pattern.
Yeah.
That you just blow up giant size. That, you know, I feel an obligation that I feel like I'm a loving person if I'm taking care of someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's about expressing who you are and joining that heart energy with other hearts that are in that same energy, so that the light of who you are begins to shine brighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good distinction to make. And also, you know, if you want to take it a step further, you can even think about putting your money on mission. You know, you can do things like, charities, donating to charities is a way that a lot of people think, but those can also be huge, you know, caretaking trips for a lot of people. But
Or IRS deductions.
Yeah.
Your intent is very important.
donating a portion of what I make to our mission here at Ottawehee has been very powerful for me. It's transformed the way I think of money. Not that I don't still, you know, make money to support myself, but I think first of using my money as an extension of that purpose that mm-hmm. I discovered in myself mm-hmm. of support.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can extend that purpose so that it becomes part of a bunch of people with similar purpose and put it on mission, then it's the dichotomy I talked about with my truck. I don't worry about paying for the truck bills anymore. I look forward to that because it's a way to support my mission. I can do the same thing with my money by tithing it. Now I'm not thinking, will I have enough money to pay my bills? I'm looking forward to getting out there and making more money so that it can be an extension of my mission.
Mm-hmm.
It can turn your whole way of thinking around if you can put parts of yourself, your spare time, your money, your whatever, into that pot of mission. It can turn around that idea that I have to acquire things for my own needs, but rather you start thinking, well, what do I have that I can share with this sense of mission?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you from a place of lack sometimes to this huge place of abundance.
And definitely from a place of singularity to a place of integration within yourself. Because if your body, mind, spirit, and emotions are not participating in mission,
mm-hmm.
you're really not in mission. Your whole being has to be a part of that, because how can you join with someone else with just a little piece of yourself?
True.
I want to acknowledge the Ottawehee Retreat. It's a place where you can go and get away from it all and go home healthier. The Ottawehee Wellness Retreat offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. This is where retreat becomes renewal. And you can find out all about it at ottawehee.com, ADAWEHI, ottawehee.com. Please check it out. Come visit us here. It is an amazingly beautiful place. The room is beautiful, the land is beautiful, and the people are beautiful. This is from Sam in Atlanta, Georgia. Love the differentiation you make between a journey and a goal. My stumbling block is in how the world demands things from me, to where all I can do is accomplish short-term goals. People don't appreciate my journey. I don't get paid for my journey. Please help. You want me to start, or you want
to start? Yeah, why don't you start?
All right, I will. You know, it is so easy to get caught up in whatever the next thing of life is offering us. I think I mentioned that mission has continuity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We get stopped if we don't recognize the goals or the obligations, as we call them, you know, the short-term goals, the whatever you have to do next. And sometimes we even call those problems rather than goals. Whatever that is, if that is the end of our destination, that's as far as our thinking and our feeling goes, then our heart is trapped in a prison, a prison of a goal.
Uh-huh.
Instead of seeing that goal as something that gives a shape to how they're going to express who they are. If you can see your job as a place where it gives you shape to how you express yourself, like for Rodney, his work is a place that shapes his expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he brings wonderful, wonderful help to people in nutrition and helping them to heal things that doctors can't heal and that they are having trouble with, and balancing their diet so that it fits, their food fits them and totally nourishes them. All of that is wonderful. But if that was his only goal, just to go in there and provide that information, it would be a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if his mission is to bring expansion, then he has to bring the information all the way down into the reality. He has to be excited about it and passionate about it, and it has to be heart-driven for it to really keep him going, or otherwise he's just handling each person that comes in as a problem to be solved.
Uh-huh.
Am I making sense to you?
Yeah, I had a chance meeting one time with a fellow that worked in the same lab as my father. When I was in college, I'd go eat lunch with my dad. His lab was on campus at Emory. And my dad spent his whole life in glaucoma research, trying to figure out what caused things to go wrong in your eyes. And there was another fellow that worked in that same lab. He was not an employee. He was working on a grant and just was assigned to the same lab space. And my father had that goal of finding a cure for glaucoma. It was not really a mission for him. It was a goal. And he did a lot of research in that and maybe moved the common understanding forward a little bit, but he never really came up with a cure for glaucoma, so he didn't reach his goal. But this other fellow was obviously on a mission to help bring healing to people's vision. He developed an implant that helped people that had had cataracts or surgery where the lens of their eye had begun to degenerate. He had developed an artificial lens that would go in your eye and give people back their sight when they had started to go blind. And in the process of working with that lens, he had to figure out what made your eye, you know, squeeze, because the lens has to be kind of flexible. And so he was looking at the dynamics of how your eye flexed and the muscles behind it. And then he ran into people who had muscular problems, and the nerves and the muscles in their eye wouldn't flex anymore. So he developed little electrical stimulators that would help people generate enough current to focus their eyes as they got older and those nerves begin to degenerate. He went from there to connecting those electrodes into the brain to give people who couldn't focus a picture, to couldn't get a picture to their brain anymore, to get a picture to their brain. So his individual goals took him all around the subject of healing people's eyes, and he did so much good by not just having one goal, but by having that overwhelming mission.
Uh-huh. That's a great story. We have just a minute, but we have one more email from Diane in Columbus, North Carolina. My vision this morning was a large greenhouse for heart energies. It had ethereal tables where we nurtured and cared for heart energies that would be planted in the world. It's a pretty picture.
It is.
And you know, that kind of fits with one of my baby steps, where... You know, I talked about the difference in goals. I've talked a lot about, and we've mentioned that. But for a person to say, okay, who am I in this goal? And is there any continuity in this? And you said, you know, join something, bring it to something, which is a lot of what she has in her picture too. But, you know, if you can't start with a big group, you start with a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't join a team, then start with a partnership. Do it with one other person. If for instance, you choose to walk daily with a partner to empower health, if health happens to be your mission energy, now it's fine to do it to empower health, just to empower it as a heart energy. But if your mission is health and you're a healer, you might want to walk for your own benefit, but you might want to walk with somebody to empower that a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make expand it, to understand that by joining with another heart, you are expanding your light and you're going to reach your mission not at the end of the line, but you're going to expand it as you go along so that it has the flare out towards the end. And we've run out of time, and we do appreciate you being with us. Make sure that your heart matters every day this week. Thank you.